Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes? We'll continue our series here as we continue to look at the futility of satisfaction apart from God. And so, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll look at the first 15 verses here this morning. As we look at how time is in God's hand. And as you heard the old bird song, they take it straight from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And maybe you can listen to it later, kind of the King James version. But we want to read this and we want to see how does this fit in with what Solomon is trying to show us and trying to teach us and that we can glean from him. So if you're willing and able, would you take God's word and would you stand with me? And I want to read along with you. As we prayed for, there is a wedding here later on today with Alex and Bella, and so we get to enjoy their flowers. We get a little forest up here as well around me, so it'll kind of keep me trapped back here today, so keep me in line. Would you follow along with me? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting in verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business of God that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what he has, what has been driven away. Lord, we come and thank you for your word. Thank you that you have entrusted your word to us. You've given it to us for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And Lord, as we look into your word and dig in deeper, Lord, may we see your truths come alive. And Lord, in so doing, may your spirit lead our minds and our hearts in a closer walk with you, and may we fully display what it means to be your child as we live this life for as long as you have us on this earth. So bless our time together. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So there is a time and a season for every matter under heaven. We know the seasons. Maybe you feel like we're stuck in a season right now, right? Rainy season has come upon us. It's funny being in Romania again, different time, but different season, kind of a little bit different season, but it was cool, but it was nice. And we had 70 degrees. It only rained one day. And then I come back and everything's green, but it's all wet. Everything's muddy. And yet we know what can easily happen come the month of August, when we will be praying and saying, Lord, would you please bring us some rain, right? Because August and September have known to be months of drought, right? And then November arrives and we begin to shudder and start to feel like, wow, snow is going to come. And then we get excited when March comes and the sun comes out. We hit 50 degrees and we put on shorts and we run out and we're excited. Everything has a time and a season. Solomon helps to remind us this. The preacher, as he preaches, he teaches us a few things in this chapter. So we want to walk through that. I won't walk through everything in this poem. We see this Ecclesiastes is part of our wisdom literature and the literature of the Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And so we see different aspects of literature, and one of those here we see is of poetry. And so Solomon shares in verses 2 through 8 this poem, and as he shares it, he gives us the contrast. He goes back and forth, a time to be born and a time to die. In our prayer time, I shared about Jay and Chantel and their new little granddaughter. And man, when you get to see that picture, she is just adorable. And then at the same time, we mourn. We mourn with the Adams and the loss of Cheryl's mom. Very real life. Death, time to plant, time to pluck up what is planted. It's been pretty wet, so I don't know if he has it in yet. Dale, you got your garden planted yet? No, not yet. Dale and I always talk because I grew up with a big garden. We had a huge garden that was bigger than this room. And in doing that, we always tried to get our garden in by Memorial Day. That was our goal. And so that we knew that time to plant. And it wasn't planting that bothered me. It was pulling weeds. And Solomon doesn't put that here. He misses that medium time. Like, I enjoyed planting. I enjoyed watching, you know, the corn come up, the beans come up, the tomatoes, the peppers, all that. I did not enjoy the weeds. But I loved when Dad started hoeing those potatoes, and he would pull them out, and you'd see these big potatoes come out. Nothing like fresh fried potatoes. See, you guys, I better keep moving because you're going to be hungrier. It's a time. There's a time for all of these things. And so Solomon helps us to understand and to, again, realize as we try to grasp and understand what is the meaning of life, Solomon helps us to see there is a time for all of these things. And so it's important for us as we try to grasp what is the meaning of life, that God has given us different seasons and different times. God also shares with us part of his promise of continuing the seasons shows his faithfulness. We don't just get stuck in winter for the rest of our life. We don't get stuck in summer for the rest of our life. There are different seasons, and those seasons show and display the faithfulness of God. As we look here, we see that there is a time and season for every matter under heaven. Does this give you comfort, or does this give you sadness? Does this give you peace, or is it disturbing to you? Are you unsettled that everything has a season and time? We were talking about this morning about Father's Day, and today's Mother's Day. We celebrate that, and next month we'll have Father's Day. And I was just sharing, it dawned on me this morning that Father's Day will be quite different for me because it will be a different season. And so the day before Father's Day, I give my oldest child away in marriage, and so she'll leave and be gone. And Pastor David's taking my youngest, my son, away on a a missions trip. And so, woohoo, here's Father's Day. Marissa will be at camp, and so we'll celebrate. Sorry, babe, it's just you and me. But we're realizing there's different seasons. Some of you have gone through that with your children and grandchildren. And so we come to this part, and so you have to ask yourself, are you okay with that? And I would say there's sometimes we are, right? And then there's other times that we're not. In verse 9, Solomon says, what gain has the worker from his toil? When we look at our lives and everything that we're doing, what's to gain? If there's a season and a time for everything, what's it all about? He says this. He says, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. And so we see that Solomon says, listen, God has given the children of man, that's us, mankind, he's given us work to do. There's business to be done that we're busy with. And so that's part of looking and saying, God didn't just put us here to sit, just to lounge around, just to be a blob. God gave us work. And we see that from the very beginning with Adam and Eve before the fall, before sin came, that Adam and Eve did work. Work wasn't because of sin. Work was a gift from God. I know I used to cringe at that when I was a child. I'm like, really? Work? Remember the weeds I was talking about? But work is a gift from God. And we see Solomon reminding us that God's given us things to be busy about. And as we go about that, he reminds us in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. I have here a piece of a puzzle. And you may see what is on this. There's a little pig here, right, with the number 7. And so I stole this from our nursery. So your child, if they're in the nursery, they're missing the number 7 today, and I apologize. You can't see the fullness, the beauty of this puzzle. All you see is a little pig. And there's supposed to be 7 little pigs that are represented in this puzzle. You see that there's another animal at the top, but you can't fully make it out. And then there's something down here in this corner, but you're asking yourself, what is this all about? Our lives are like this piece of puzzle, right? We get little glimpses and we try to figure out what is this beautiful picture that God is trying to orchestrate, that he's painting, that he's putting together. And oftentimes, all we've been given is a puzzle piece. You've been given one little viewpoint of this big, miraculous, what Solomon tells us here is something beautiful. He continues with this verse and he says, also, he's put eternity into man's heart. I love this verse because this reminds me, and I've said this often, I believe that every human being who is born has an innate desire inside of every one of us. There is a desire to know God. People may reject it. They may throw it to the side. They may not understand it. They may have lots of questions. They may try to seek and try to find lots of different ways of figuring out the answer to that. But this verse tells me that God has put eternity into our heart. Every single one of us has a yearning and a desire to say, what is it all about? Solomon says that, and then he continues, he says, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. The truth is, you and I, we can't find out what God's done from the very beginning to the end. We've been given glimpses of it through his word, But once again, we only have puzzle pieces. It's not fully put together yet. What we do see is we're reminded again from other aspects of God's word where God is not limited like we are. While we can't fully understand, God is not bound by time or by space. Think about that for a moment. God is not limited like you and I, where we're here for a certain time at a certain place. God, it has no limits there. He's not limited by time. For him, 1,000 years is like that. That's our God, and that expresses, as Solomon is writing here, the bigness and the fullness of who God is. It is interesting, as Solomon was writing, Solomon really didn't talk about God a lot until he got to the end of chapter 2. At the end of chapter 2, he says, I saw, in verse 24, this also I saw is from the hand of God. And he starts to unveil for us this idea and this concept that he's pursuing, but yet he's also saying there is a God who is much bigger and much larger, who is controlling all of this. God is not bound by time or space. He continues, then he says this, I perceive, verse 12, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. I love this. It's almost like the first time that we get a little glimmer of joy from Solomon. Because as we talked about several weeks ago, he takes different bubbles as we pursue life and the meaning of life, of pleasure, of wisdom, of our work, of our toils, and he pops them one at a time saying, that will not provide you what you need. We see here just a little bit as he starts revealing there is a God who is in charge, who's given us work to do, and in doing that, there are seasons of our life. He is in control. You're not going to be able to control it. And because of that, he says here, we can be joyful and we can do good as long as we live. Then he continues and he says, eat, drink, take pleasure in all of his toil. This is God's gift to man. The fact that we can toil, that we can work, that we can do these things, and yet God has given us a gift to be able to enjoy them. Can I admit something to you? That'd be all right? This is yes, this is no. All right, I want to admit something to you. It was really nice to go work with my hands for 2 weeks. It was great because I got to see, as we did project after project, we got to see things done and see things completed. Mike, let me just say, Mike was a beast. He worked nonstop. He had me going. He's like, come on, Pastor, let's go. And one of the projects that we did was this deck. And when we did this deck, it was great. We laid out all these pieces and screwed them together. And it was my job to do the painting. And I painted the beams and the headers and all that. And it was great to be able to take a step back and say, wow, that looks nice. The reason why I admit that is because sometimes ministry, it's hard to see that. I work each day in my role as a pastor, ministering and loving, and sometimes it's really hard to see, man, is there any growth out there? Sometimes I look out here on a Sunday morning and say, man, are they hearing what I'm saying? And then we come back in the next Sunday and I say, man, are they hearing what I'm saying? And then we come back the next Sunday and I say, are they hearing what I'm saying? So it was nice to work with the hands and to be able to say, wow, look at that. And to take pleasure in that. Now, I must also admit, I take great pleasure because I know you are listening. Well, 90% of you are. The other 10% are playing on your phones right now, so that's okay. You're like, who is that? I just saw a mom look at her son, so I won't point them out. But it is a gift from God, Solomon tells us, that we can enjoy our toil. We can enjoy for as long as we live. I find that interesting here, this phrase, for as long as you live. Because again, there's a season and there's a time for everything. This is God's gift. It's not yours. It's God's gift to us. Remember who created you, who made you, who formed you in your mother's womb. Before you could even say a word, he knew our thoughts. Isn't that amazing? That's God, though. And God has given you the wisdom. He's given you the abilities. He's given you the freedom. He has given us all that we enjoy. And we are to use it for his kingdom and for his glory. But as we will look at in just a moment, we often try to control those things and we want to do things according to what we want. And that's when friction begins. It is nothing better, Solomon says, than for us to be joyful, to do good, to eat, drink, take pleasure in this gift that God's given us. Solomon then goes and he shares about the perspective from God's view. He says, I perceive, verse 14, that whatever God does endures forever. See, God doesn't have just seasons. What God does lasts eternity. What you and I enjoy has seasons and times. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away. You can't add to what God wants to do, and you can't take something away from God. Did you know that? Did you know that you're not God? Let me remind you, if you didn't already know, you are not the God of this universe. You may want to be the Lord of your life, but there is only one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he gave his life so that you could trust in him as Lord and Savior, so that you could rely on him to give you eternal life, because you're not good enough, and neither am I. That's why Jesus came, right? Jesus came, lived a perfect and sinless life. He died on a cruel cross, being an innocent man who hung on a cross after he was beaten and spit upon and ultimately dying in your place and in my place. He was buried after he died and he rose again 3 days later. He conquered sin and death and he offers to you an eternal relationship with him. It is a gift of God. He offers salvation to you. Because when we seek to be gods of our own lives, it will always end in tragedy and defeat. You will never be good enough, give enough, or be enough. That's why we get to realize that there's a Savior. And he's all that we need. And so to believe that Jesus died for you to take all of your disobedience, because we're born with a sin condition. Every one of us, we're all in the same boat. We're born with a sinful heart. And because of that sinful heart, we need a Savior. And when we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we say, It is him that I trust in. It is Jesus that I choose to follow. It is Jesus that I say, he is my Savior, the one I claim to forgive me of my sin and to make me right in the eyes of a holy and just God. God offers that to us. Solomon reminds us it is God who is in control. You can't adjust his plans. We can pray. And prayer, the prayer of an effective and righteous man availeth much. But you aren't going to add what God does, nor will you take away what God does. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? What God does endures forever. Solomon says at the end of verse 14, God has done it so that people fear before him. While on one hand, it is wonderful that we can claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and that he is our friend, much like God was a friend to Abraham, we also are reminded throughout Scripture multiple times that we are to fear God. We fear God because we can't change what he's doing. We fear God because he is holy and righteous and just. There is no sin in him. We fear him because he could do anything, and we are at his mercy. And yet God is a good God. He is a loving God, but he is a just God. And being just and thinking about what we deserve versus what he's given us, again, causes us to look to him and thank him and praise him. And so we rejoice in the toils that we get to enjoy each day. This week, Mike and I, along with several other men and Andrew and Leah, had the privilege of walking through Psalm 27. And Psalm 27 kind of reminds me of this idea of nobody can add or take away from God. Nobody can change what he's doing. We have the wonderful opportunity to trust him. So Psalm 27 verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If the Lord is that for you, answer that question. And if he is not, he invites you to have that relationship with him. And then we see at the end of this psalm, Psalm 27, verse 14, where he says, "Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Who is in control? It is the Lord. Amen. Then we see here as we finish up verse 15, "That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away." What's interesting, we've already seen this phrase, the first part of this verse, back in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And so it's almost like Solomon is reiterating again, there's nothing new under the sun as we walk through life. God's in charge. He's in control. There's different seasons. And yet he adds a phrase here that God seeks what has been driven away. Or as others have pursued, God seeks after. Well, I don't know the full intent of Solomon. It does remind me of a parable that Jesus shares where Jesus says, there is a shepherd who will leave the 99 to go pursue the one. What a great God we have. And even though we may stray, he comes seeking. Here's a few questions for us as we conclude this first part of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Control. Do you like control? Come on. Just admit it, right? We do. Why do you continually seek control? Ask yourself that question. What is it that spurs you on? Is it fear? Is it pride? Why do you continually seek? Why do I continually seek to try to control things when I know that there is a good and righteous and just God who has given us different seasons and different times for all things? How can you and how can I, how can we have a wise perspective of our time and seasons? People used to tell us, enjoy your kids while they're little. And in our sleepless nights as we're changing diapers and cleaning up puke, and you know what it is. They come running into your room and you're like, go back to bed. I've got to go to work tomorrow. And those seasons where it's just hard. We had wise people come alongside and say, enjoy these times, treasure them, because they will be gone quickly. I remember the day I walked Lene, Lisa and I walked Lene into kindergarten. Walking her in, I started crying. Lisa's like, what's wrong with you? She had two little ones, Lene and Marissa, and she was like, I get to get rid of one. This is great. My response to her was, it's going to go so fast. I said, one day, very soon, I'm going to be walking her down the aisle. We can't control time, but we can be wise and have a perspective that understands there is a time and season for everything, and that we don't hold on to it with grips that are white-knuckled, but that we would trust in a sovereign and a good God who gives us moments, who gives us times, who allows us to enjoy those sweet seasons, but also those seasons that are difficult and challenging and hard, that we can go to Him and embrace those times knowing there is a purpose. And there is a reason. So how can you have a wise perspective of the different seasons and times of your life? And let me encourage you to do this. You need to adjust and prepare for change, because it's coming. You can't stop it. I know people who have tried. We know them. Right? You can't. So adjust and prepare your heart. When change comes, embrace it. Don't fight it, because there is a season for everything. Back in 2008, we had 24 of us that went over to Italy, and we had these grandiose plans of going and running an English camp with our missionaries, Doug and Dee Valenzuela, for I think there was roughly 70 Italian teenagers. And we prepared, worked with Skyview. They came alongside of us, and we were ready for a week of camp. And the kids came, the teens came. We had everything laid out, and about half an hour into our time with them, we realized very quickly almost everything that we had prepared was not going to work. These Italian kids, while we thought they would know some English, knew very little to nothing. And so what we had orchestrated and put together, we quickly had to just throw away and say, we've got to come up with a new plan. And so we came up with this saying, are we going to ride the wave or fight the wave? And I've used this often in the years after, because when you're in the ocean and you are riding the wave, you're much like a surfer. right? Or a boogie board person who's enjoying the wave. You're on top of it. You're like, yeah, this is fun. But maybe you're like me when I get out there in the ocean and the waves come and they come and another one, and you're like, you're fighting it. You're trying to get up. You're trying to get past the breakers, and you're just in this agony of continually, I gotta do this. And yet, God has given us the opportunity to enjoy as best as we can, as we lean on Him, these seasons of change, or we can fight against them and be frustrated and continue to fall in the water and drowned in our misery or our pain or our suffering. Embrace it. Embrace the change that is coming. There's a season for everything. I leave you with this question that we have had from the very beginning. How do you now live with the end in view? If you knew your life would end on Friday, how are you going to live until then? You can't control it, but know that there are seasons, there are times that we get to enjoy and utilize and to make the most of. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are in control of all things. Thank you that you are a big God who not only displays your beauty, but you display your awesome wonder, your power, your control. Thank you for being a God who keeps his promises. And in spite of those times when all we see is just one piece of the puzzle, you have something beautiful that you're doing. Help us to trust you, to continually bring our faith in alignment with your very character. And in those moments when we struggle and it's hard to see, when it's hard to understand, when our hearts hurt, and when we want to just curl up and run away, seeking our own way, Lord, may you seek after us. And may you continue to display your goodness and your glory. May your Spirit give us peace and wisdom. May we find comfort and direction. Lord, when seasons come and go, may it be said of us that we were still faithful to you. May we enjoy this season today, this day where we honor our mothers, to celebrate them, to honor them. And yet, Lord, I know there are some who sit here today who did not have those good mothers, did not have that example, did not have that loving, kind, gentle. That doesn't make you an unloving God. Lord, what you have shown is a picture of the puzzle, a difficulty, a challenge. That sometimes we don't understand why. And so I pray for those this morning who are walking through that. You are a good God who continues to bless us. Help us not to lose sight, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what may come and go in our lives. Help us not to lose sight of the very character, your nature, and the salvation that you offer to us. We praise you, God, that we can wait on you. We praise you that you are our salvation and our hope. Thank you, Lord, for this family, for this church that you continue to work in and through. And as we seek to better embrace the changes of our lives, may that show to a lost and dying world the hope that Jesus provides. And so we pray this in his wonderful and blessed name, the name that is above every name, the name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess as Lord, the name of our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. Amen.